this is Blonde Haired Girl. I guess it's technically Thanksgiving now. It's about 2 o'clock in the morning, which is actually 3 o'clock on my own internal time. So y'all know that I moved a few months ago, and I had to set my clock back this time. I've never had to do this in my entire life because I lived in Arizona. Arizona was a state that was never affected by daylight savings time. But now I'm living on the coast, on the West Coast, and I had to set my clock back. And I have to tell you, it's been an adjustment that I can't quite figure out. I've sat there and I've just been puzzled and tried to figure this thing out. And my brain, I can't quite get it. It's like I'm stuck. Okay, this is the part that's getting me. Is that it was an hour later, okay? So I had to set my clock back an hour, okay? So but before I did that, when I left for work, so when I left for work at around, like, let's just say 7:15. I'm leaving for work at 7:15, and every time I left for work, it was dark. It was legitimately dark. Okay, would I set my clock back an hour? Now, when I leave at 7:15, it's daylight. It is like the sun is out. I can't figure it out. I don't understand that because I set my clock back an hour. So you would think that I had set my clock, you know, forward an hour, but that's not what happened. And I got to tell you, my body has not, is going, what? And then this is the other thing. I have no time, hardly any daylight before I get home. So I get home sometime between like 4:30 and 5. And every time I get home, it's dark. And I can't do my normal, because I'm like one of these, like every single day practically, I go for a walk after work. When I get home, I go and I do my walking. And this daylight savings time has like kind of ruined my schedule. And I'm a pretty scheduled person. I hate to admit that, but I'm not very, I can't say that I'm not spontaneous whatsoever, but I have my rituals. Like, this is just what I do. And it has messed me up that I can't go for my walk. So I've thought about doing it in the morning, but I just don't have this thing all set up yet. So I keep waking up now at 2 a.m. And I was thinking about it. It's like, but on my internal clock for my entire life, it was it would be 3, which makes sense because I used to always wake up around 3 o'clock. So I'm all messed up, you guys. I'm all messed up. I'm like, I just don't know what to do with myself. I'm kind of a mess. Everything is all messed up from this daylight savings time. But sometimes I wish y'all could like answer my question. I have a question. I cannot figure this out. I keep dreaming about work. I don't remember my dreams very often, but I can tell that I'm dreaming about work because I'm waking up thinking about something that I have to do or doing something differently or thinking about clients. I'm like, what is going on? Why am I dreaming about work all the time? I don't know what's going on with me. All right. So there's a couple things. I was just wondering, like, on my subconscious mind, because they, like, try to say that your dreams have to do with your subconscious mind. And my subconscious mind is off on work a lot, which I don't quite understand. I don't get what's going on with that. But I spend enough time at work. I mean, I really do. I spend enough time at work that I don't know why I'm dreaming about it. Like, I don't want to spend more time at work when I'm not at work. I want to have dreams about adventures and new things. Nah, anyway, whatever. So what I wanted to talk about is something that I've talked about before, but not for a while. I mean, but maybe I have in a way. I mean, I just sit here and I'm like, what the actual hell is all of this about? there's this person at work that I'm talking about work again, that I absolutely, I really enjoy her. She is a very interesting person to me. And she was telling me that she has a theory that the life that we are leading right now is hell. That this is hell. And I disagree. Except it was so weird. After she said it, somebody else said it. Somebody else that was kind of like this person who, you know, because a lot of people set themselves up as experts. I'm sorry. I'm laughing because I don't know why you guys listen to me at all. Because I'm never setting myself as an expert of anything ever. Honestly, it's like you gotta check yourself. You gotta check yourself because, like, there's so much out there and people presenting that this is truth. Whatever they're saying is truth. And you must always, always, always understand that it is an opinion. It is a truth. It is their truth. But it is not the ultimate truth. I mean, just making sure that we're always testing this out with actually what happened. Like yesterday, there was some kind of a something that went down on the border by Niagara Falls, like the border between the U.S. and Canada. And some people were setting it up as like a terrorist attack. And it seems like it was a guy, and it was very strange. Like his car took flight, and I don't know what happened, but it was really misrepresented by some news outlets, and we just have to be supremely careful. Especially because we're like setting these beliefs on certain things. And I like ideas and I like to talk about stuff, but I understand that this is a weird thing. That truth is a very bizarre thing and changes. Like what is true one moment, maybe not true the next moment. that everything is in flux, everything is in movement, and so I just wanna say that, because I have to check myself a lot and be very careful, because I start to have all of these, like, where did that belief come from? And now it's like, yeah, I'd be super careful, because information is coming at us at such a rate now with social media, which I spend way too much time on. I'll just admit that. I spend way too much time on social media. And when I'm on social media, I'm listening to someone, and sometimes I'm like sitting there and I'm like, what am I listening to? And is my brain picking up and believing that this is true? When even somebody who may know something about something to a degree, like, unless they've actually studied it and like really know, like, and we don't know these people. Even some of that we follow for a long time, we don't know these people. And anyway, I'm just saying, I just want to put this out there. That I had heard after this person, my workmate, had said to me that this is hell that we're living in right now. I had heard that from somebody else that was a quote-unquote authority on such topics. Because I hear a lot that this is some kind of school. This is some kind of, you know, that we choose everything that has everything. We choose our parents. We choose our life mission. We choose blah, 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 all this stuff before we come here. And I don't know if any of that is true. What I have come to in myself is that I believe that we are here to live. We are here to love. We are here to experience this planet. We have an opportunity to come here and experience this planet and live this life. And I also believe create a life. Okay, so I'm in the process of creating. I'm trying to create my life the best way that I could possibly create it. Okay, I'm trying to make this life matter. Okay, so I sit here and I, you know, I had this dream of moving where I'm at. I had this dream, I really wanted to move here. I really wanted to move here for various reasons. I wanted to live closer to the ocean. I wanted to, and I liked this town because people ask me a lot, why did you move here? Okay, I didn't want to move to a bigger place. This has about the same population as the town I was living in before. I didn't want to live in a big city. I don't really, like, that's not really my jive at this point in my life. And it's not too small where it has absolutely nothing for miles. But, you know, anyway, so for various reasons, I wanted to move here. So I get this opportunity, and this is one of my fears in this life. I'm going to admit to it. This is something that I fear, is that thing that I think is going to enhance my life doesn't. That I'm predicating, that I'm setting a vision of a future. I set my heart and my mind focus on this future, and then I get into this future that I think that I desire, and it not being what I want. Sort of like the whole story of the Wizard of Oz. My life is a perpetual repeat of the Wizard of Oz. I'm just kidding. But kind of not. And I don't think I'm alone. I do not believe that what goes on with me is individual to me. I don't believe that. I may be more aware because I have set myself with this intention on awareness, and the creation of my life in a different way than I had before. But anyway, I think, you know, it's like, but I will say this too, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say this again, because I believe this is true. I don't know that it ever really can stop. I don't know that we can entirely have a life with no desire in it. I don't know if that's even a possibility. I mean, our lives are our day. Every single moment of our life and our day is a micro choice of many choices that we could be doing. I mean, even the choice to go to sleep and be sleeping. I had the choice to sleep, so I slept. I had the choice to get up and go move to another room. I had a choice to have tea or coffee or just hot water in the morning. I had a choice to drive a certain way to work or not. Our life is a series of these choices. And some people believe that choice itself is an illusion, but I'm just saying that we have the choice to either get up or not get up in the morning. We just lay in bed. Okay, so I don't know that we can ever, like some people, you know, like the Buddha supposedly, or some people say that the Buddha said, I'm sorry, I'm ornery today. Some people say that the Buddha said that nirvana, or, you know, reaching a state of enlightenment, the end of suffering is to not have desire. To end desire, to end need. Maybe saying this incorrectly. I'm willing to admit that. So, and I argue that I don't think that we can. I think just in part of living is desire. I don't know if we would ever get around it. Okay, so we're living, so we're desiring. But there appear to be desires that are quote unquote within reach, and then desires that are quote unquote supposedly not within reach, right? And so these little micro choices are kind of easy. Like, and we have practiced them our whole life since infancy. We've practiced, you know, just being able to move our arm, learning how to crawl, learning how to move, you know, learn a lot of these micro choices are easy, but I'm not necessarily talking about those. I'm talking about supposedly we create our life. And supposedly we create our life through intention. Through setting out these bigger choices. And setting our intention on these bigger choices and trying our absolute best to get out of the way of the outcome and how it's going to come about. It's not quite exactly the same as getting a degree. Because like getting a degree, there's things you have to do. You have to apply. You have to get accepted. Then you have to take all these courses. I mean, it's like everything is set out for you with your degree. This is a little bit different. Like, okay, I'm going to move to the Pacific Northwest. And not having, trying to separate myself from how that is going to come about. And I don't even know if what I'm saying right now has any like truth in a way, because like even that I had to, there were steps that I had to take, but to be fair, I had many interviews and did not get any of those positions until the position that I got in June of this year. And so there was an element of things had to line up in order for me to be here. Okay, so now I'm here. The newness of this joyous experience has kind of rubbed off. It's not as new. I've been wearing this outfit now for a few months. I'm trying it on for size, and I'm sitting here and I'm having all of these thoughts about, you know, this ringing in my ear from my mother saying, wherever you are, you are. Just, you cannot get away from yourself in a way. And so I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, am I happy here? Am I happier here than I was before? Am I? And here is the truth. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I appear to have a restlessness inside of myself. I have a restlessness inside of myself, and it's hard for me to settle the restlessness. And I don't understand it, because I'm a person that, you know, I would tell you I don't really like change very much, but I certainly don't act like it. I don't act like I don't like change, because I do all kinds of stuff, like what I was referring to. All of a sudden, I don't want to drink coffee anymore, so I've been drinking hot water in the morning. Every single day, I try to drive to work a different way. Not entirely a different way, but I try to turn on a different corner. Every day, I put my makeup on, and I do it differently. Like, okay, today I'm going to do my eyes first. Another day, okay, I'm putting my lipstick on first today. I mean, I'm really not kidding. I try to brush my teeth with a different hand. Okay, so I'm brushing my teeth with my left hand instead of my right hand. Okay, I put my pants on with a different leg. I put a different leg through my pant hole. I practice these techniques. I heard that this was something that we should do. So, and I'm always a little extra. So, I have to do everything with such fervor, and then I assign some kind of attachment to it. Like, this is very important that I do this because this is good for me. But am I happy? Am I happier here than I was there? You know, so then I start this position, and yesterday I had this some kind of check-in with my supervisor, and she's asking me all these questions. And I when I first got to my position, and I have to say, even though there have been bumps in the road that are to be expected, there are bumps in the road, and we have to expect that. We can't expect, nor would we actually ideally want every single day to be the exact same day. Groundhog Day, is that what it's about? Isn't there a movie like Groundhog Day? Like having exactly the same day every day. So for the most part, if I was to add up the last months of my position, I really like it. I like my job. I don't dread going, even though I spend way too many hours there. I mean, like, I really do. But I like my job. I like the people I work with, and I like the clients that I work with. So I'm pretty happy at my work. Pretty happy, which hasn't been something that I've experienced. Not that I've like actually hated my jobs. That's a strong word, but there's been things about, I have a level, I'm okay with a level of there's this much of my job that I don't like doing. I'm okay with that generally. And there's hardly anything that I really do that I just really dislike. I mean, I do a whole lot of paperwork. I'm in front of my computer screen a lot. I'm doing a lot of documenting things all the time. I have to do a lot of documentation, which I feel like takes away from my time with clients, which is why I'm there, is to have a change in the lives of these people that I'm counseling or whatever. But there is to be expected that you're not going to like absolutely everything about your job, but like, and you know what? And I feel very blessed that I like my work for the most part. But my life has really become about that. Like, I don't have any friends here, like, really. You know, it's like, okay, so how do you meet friends? Okay, I have no idea how to meet friends here. I have no idea. Like, how am I going to meet friends here? I don't know. You know, it's like, oh, you need to find some friends. I'm like, okay, I need to find some friends. You know, it's, you know, a case of the need to's. You know, I just, like... And so, you know, and then, so then like, okay, so let's just talk about meeting people. So it's really funny. Because I think this is funny. So I was talking to my supervisor when we were doing this, they call it a roundup, I guess, wanting to just ask me where I'm at with everything, you know, and I was really honest with her. You know, it's like, I've moved, I've never done this before. I've never moved out of the state. You know, 1,300 miles away from my home before, by myself, to another state. I mean, like, actually, it was a very brave thing I did. I did a very brave thing. And you know, but... And then it was like, but I don't know how to meet. Okay, so meet men. Okay, so I would like to meet men. How do I meet men? So I was saying, what do I do? Just get on a dating app? And I was laughing. And she goes, yeah, you should. And I was like, oh, God. So I tried. I tried. And actually, I thought it was interesting. The price went up. Because I haven't done online dating in years. It's been years that I have not done online dating, and I never went back to match.com after I had an experience that I never wanted to bump into this person, which was the app that I had met this person on. So I never did match again. So, but she said, I go, well, what dating? Because she met her husband on a dating app. I go, well, what dating app was it? She goes, oh, it was Match.com. So I'm like, okay. So I try Match. So I download it. Everything stayed the same. I still have the same you know, from however many years ago it's been. Would have been 6 years ago that I met this person. Anyway. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, so all of a sudden they start sending me these men, and I have this an absolute, like, horrible reaction. Horrible reaction. I was just like, I cannot do this. I can't do this. It was such so jarring to my brain to see these men's faces. Oh my God. I'm like, there is no way I can do this. And I deleted my account. So, are you sure you want to delete your account? I'm like, yes, I want to delete everything. Pretend like this never happened. I just can't. And I gotta tell you, I had some of the weirdest dates. Like when I was doing online dating. Oh my God, I'm trying to think about which one was the weirdest. I think this one was the weirdest. Okay, so I'm going to tell you about this one date that was years ago. It was years ago. I think it was like maybe in like 2015 or something, or 14 or something. So it was like almost 10 years ago. Okay. So I'm on this work training. So I'm actually in Phoenix on this work training, and I'm at a hotel, and I had been talking to this guy who I read profiles very carefully, and this guy said he was a widow. Okay, so we agreed to meet at a Indian food restaurant. Okay, my brattiness is coming out because I have a thing about, it's like men and wearing, like, it doesn't even matter what kind of shoe, I don't think, but with these like knee-high socks or even like socks that go mid, if they're wearing shorts. Now, it doesn't matter if they're wearing pants, but if they're wearing shorts, the socks, I don't know, there's something about it. So I walk in. And the guy is wearing these socks, like these, as I recall, I don't remember what kind of shoe, but it didn't even matter. It was just, it was the socks. And he had on this Hawaiian shirt, I think. And, and I had this immediate reaction, oh God. And I just wanted to run, and I didn't. So the next thing I know, we're sitting at the booth, and he starts talking about this person that works for him. He sold pools for a living. He was a pool salesman, but I think he owned the company. So he was the owner of a pool business, putting in pools, I guess. Okay. And he had somebody working for him, and he said, yeah, all my friends and family think I should date her. And he goes, but I tried to date her. And okay, I'm sorry. This is like, I'm being real with you guys. This is exactly how it went down. He said, but she said she wasn't into anal sex, and I didn't want to date her because she's not into anal sex. But then he keeps talking about this woman. So I'm sitting there, and I'm doing something that I do, and I'm just kind of disappearing in my own mind, and enjoying the food. It was really good Indian food. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to focus on the food because this guy is ridiculous. So I don't know why I agree. So I agreed to go sit at the bar with him. So we're sitting at the bar, and I think he had more drinks. I didn't drink anymore. I don't even know if I drank at all. I don't remember. But so we're sitting at the bar, and then he divulges to me that he's been married some ungodly amount of times. I don't even know how many times. And that one of his wives was a mail order bride from Russia. You know, actually, the whole thing could have been just a complete ridiculous joke. Maybe he was just spoofing me, but, and I think I got emails from him, like, afterward, you know, like, you want to meet up again? And I like, no. I think that I tried to be polite when I was doing online dating, but I had so many of these horrible experiences that I prefer not. And then I also had some experiences that weren't horrible, but what I really thought was that it was just an indication that I was open for possibilities in my actual life. I called that my virtual life, and this was my actual life. But the people that I've met that actually meant the most to me, I met in real life. I didn't meet them online. And to be honest, in the last few years, the people that have been significant to me even remotely, I met them in real life. But it's been like a real short-lived, nothing has come to fruition, quite honestly, as you can tell. And so I'm back to the drawing board here. Although I have gone out twice in the last week. I've gone out to eat. I've been forcing myself. I'm not going to meet people staying home all the time. Not that I've met anyone, but I've been forcing myself not like to go to bars and stuff, but to go to eat. So I go out to eat and just forcing myself to get out. But back to the subject of wherever I am, I don't want to admit that. I've come so far that I don't want to admit that they were right, or there was any rightness in people's talking to me about how, you know, you're going to do this thing and you know, like Dorothy, there's no place like home. You know, and where is my home? I guess my home kind of is wherever I am. You know, my kids are all grown up and I definitely want to visit them and everything, but I miss, you know, what I really miss right at the moment more than anything, because I've seen my kids since I've been gone. I miss my dog. And she's not my dog, because people are like, oh my God, you left your dog? Why did you leave your dog? You know, I was like, I didn't leave my dog. This dog is technically my son's dog, but I absolutely love that dog. Every morning I would wake up and I would take her out to go to the bathroom, and then I would bring her in and I would give her her morning food. I would put her bowl on the ground. And she always did this thing where she would turn her neck and lick me on the foot. And I was always rubbing her back. Like, I would put her food on the ground and then I would like rub the back of her head or the back of her back. And then I would make my coffee. And And I would come home from work and I would walk her. My son and I would come home from, we would go out listening to bands and stuff, and I would come home and we'd always, you know, sometimes it would be really late at night and I would take her outside and I could look up at the stars and the moon in the sky, you know, and this dog, you know, like I would go down to do things, and then when I would go back up, she'd be sitting on her bed and I would just kiss her, like her face, and just kind of grab her little like face hairs, and I just love that dog. And I miss her. It's really so strange. But, and the other really weird thing is that where I'm living, like right now, the way that the apartment I live in is situated on the lot is very similar to back what I call home, where I was living before. And this is also so weird. The ceiling fan is the exact same ceiling fan as I have at home in my bedroom. It is the exact same ceiling fan. I can't come up with this stuff, friends. I just can't. It's like the weirdest thing. But so I guess it's like, I actually just don't even know what to say, except that I have developed this internal need to run when in uncomfortable situations. And I can feel it coming on, and I really don't want to do that. I really don't want to do that anymore. There have been times where I have had to run in my life. I've had situations happen in my life where I was forced to make quick or not so quick decisions to change my life radically and deal with the consequences of a really big change suddenly or seemingly suddenly. And I, first of all, I feel like I'm much more inclined at this point to see a situation and not necessarily react to it, like see a situation and know that this is not the right place for me. Like, giving a quick example, the last job that I had, I absolutely knew. I knew the first day I was there that it was a wrong decision on my part. It was a wrong decision. I knew the first day I was there, and I stayed there for 10 months, but I didn't want to leave my kids, the kids that I was working with. And so I waited till the school year was over and I left. The first opportunity I had, I was so incredibly unhappy at that job. But I'm much more gun shy about getting into something to begin with. But okay, so I'm at a job that I'm pretty happy at. And trying to give myself time, like I'm gonna stay here for at least a year. But I don't know. Life is just very, very strange. And but I wanted to share one quick thing with you before I end this podcast and go back to sleep. because it's probably now 3 in the morning, which is actually 4 in the morning my time. I'm laughing. So I told you on my last podcast about this limelight, debacle, this supposed, book agent, literary agent that contacted me. I mean, it may actually be a business, but honestly, I was looking it up on the Better Business Bureau and it had multiple that said it was a complete scam, that they took their money to do the stuff with the book, and then they never even heard from them. A number of them. There were a lot of them, not even just a few. So a lot of people have been taken by this business, but I had a couple of really weird things happen in the process of this. So when the guy called me from supposedly Chronicle Books, the guy from Chronicle Books had a number sequence, and his number that was very significant to me. And I tend to do this kind of thing. I tend to, because I believe that the universe like sends me this like really weird signs, like God sends me these really weird signs. And so, but the interesting thing about it is that the same thing happened with not the job I have right now, but the job that I was telling y'all about, that the first day I worked there, I knew it was a bad decision. Part of the reason why I was even willing to take that job was because of this number sequence. And so when I saw the number sequence on this one, I had remembered, like, just be careful, like reminding myself, be careful to take that as an absolute sign of something. But then I had the second thing happen where I was in a bookstore. I'm browsing through this bookstore and I'm looking at all kinds of books and everything, and I pick up this book. Okay, the only book that I actually picked up in that bookstore was a book that was published by Chronicle Books. Is that bizarre? That is so bizarre. I mean, like, the chances of that in that bookstore, I'm not sure how many books are in there. Of all of the books that I would pick up, and I only picked up one. I mean, I was looking at books. I was looking at titles. I was looking at covers and authors and everything. But the only book that I actually picked up turned out to be by Chronicle Books. And I didn't know that until after I had picked it up. I'm just saying, that's so bizarre. So even the signs are weird. I've had these moments in my life where there's been all these signs about something, and then it. So basically all is lost. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I better go. I hope this makes sense. God, I'm just clear as mud. I appreciate you listening, and I'll be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.